Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay. Shri Bhagavan Huvacha Karmana Jayate Jantuhu Karmanaiva Pradiyate Sukham Dukam Vayam Shemam Karmanaiva Vipadyate Karmana Jayate Jantu Karmanaiva Padiyate Sukham Dukham Bhayam Kshemam Karmanaiva Vipadyate Karmana Jayate Jantu Karmanaiva Pratiyate Sukham Dukham Bhayam Kshemam Karmanaiva Vipadyate Karmana Jayate Jantu Karmanaiva Praliyate Sukham Dukham Vayam Shemam Karmanaiva Vipadyate. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Karmana, by the force of karma, Jayate, takes birth, Jantuhu, the living entity, Karmana, by karma, Eva, alone, Praliyate, he meets his destruction, Sukham, happiness, Dukham, unhappiness, Mayam, fear, Shemam, security, Karmanak Eva, by karma alone. Abhipadyate. It's a translation. Translation. Lord Krishna said, it is by the force of karma that a living entity takes birth, and it is by karma alone that he meets his destruction. His happiness, distress, fear, and sense of security all arise as the effects of karma. So you can repeat, Lord Krishna said, It is by the force of karma that a living entity takes birth. It is by karma alone that he meets his destruction. His happiness, distress, fear, and sense of security all arise as the effects of karma. So, purport by the servants of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Krishna minimized the importance of the demigods by speaking the philosophy known as karma-vada or karma-mimamsa, which basically is atheism with a belief in reincarnation. According to this philosophy, there are subtle laws of nature that reward or punish us according to how we act. As you sow, so shall you reap. In a future life, one reaps the fruit of his present work, and this is the sum and substance of reality. Lord Krishna, being God himself, could hardly be a serious proponent of this mediocre philosophy. In the role of a young boy, he was simply teasing his pure devotees by preaching it. Srila Jiva Goswami points out that Lord Krishna was thinking, why are these eternal associates of mine appearing as my father and other relatives and friends so caught up in this worship of Indra? Thus, although the Lord's main purpose was to take away the false pride of Indra, he also wanted to remind his eternal devotees that they need not divert their attention to other so-called gods, since in fact his devotees were already living with the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Almighty Lord himself. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says exactly the same thing was said in the purports. We're not going to read his commentary. So we'll read Jiva Goswami's commentary. Wait a second. Yeah. Oops. All right, I'll read Jiva Goswami. Who is Indra to receive the worship of my eternal associates like Nanda? Though Krishna had in his mind the idea of breaking Indra's pride, he first defeated his father's arguments by taking shelter of the famous Karmavada in order to protect his human pastimes. Karmavada would not reveal his nature as the Supreme Lord. Pramiyate means die. All living beings live and die by karma. Another version has praliyate with the same meaning. Another version has he, liyate, certainly they must die. And after living and dying, they attain happiness, suffering, fear, and lack of fear, kshemam, etc., by karma. The word karmana is repeated to emphasize the fact that karma is the cause. And Sanatan Goswami, we'll just finish up with that, says he refutes his father's words first by taking shelter of karmavada, since it is famous everywhere. Beings are born by karma, since by parabdha karma one receives results in this life. All jivas die pramiyate by karma. Another version has viliyate with the same meaning. While living and in the next life by karma, one experiences happiness, etc., and fearlessness, shemam. Karma is the cause, but the word is repeated for emphasis. Okay, we'll go back to the verse. One second. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Karmana Jayate Jantu Karmanaiva Paliyate Sukam Dukam Vayankshemam Karmanaiva Vipajate. So, Omagana Timidandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Jakshur Unmeditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So doesn't this seem to be our philosophy? You know, we hear about karma, parabdha karma, aparabdha karma, kuta, and bija. Some of you may be familiar with those particular terms. Like, kuta means like, you know, the inclination to do something, and bija means the seed. You know, so we have karma bij and bhakti lata bij, the seed of... Of course, Bhakti Lata Bij is the seed of the creeper of devotion, and Karma Bij is the seed of desire to do a particular activity or like that. Or we also have Papa Bij. That doesn't mean the opposite of Mama Bij. It means it's sinful desire. So it's interesting, you know, there's a lot of truth in the karma of Mimamsa philosophy, which we'll speak about in a second. And there's a lot of bad things in the karma of Mimamsa philosophy. That you do get the results of your activities in this world. It is a fact. And then by association with certain modes of nature, you get certain types of desires planted in your heart. Karnam Gunasangasha Sadasad Jamajanishu. As Krishna says, the cause of our entanglement in this world is associating with the modes of nature. So, you know, you do have this material nature. It does function in a certain way. Of course, you know, we generally talk about the laws of material nature. Apart from this, I was listening to one discussion that Prabhupada had. I was listening this morning while I was doing my deity worship. And the devotees were talking about the law of gravity. And Prabhupada said, there's no law of gravity. So I was thinking, no law of gravity? I mean, what's happening here? Am I supposed to believe that? And no law of gravity, you know, if I jump off the dome, which I've done a number of times, am I going to float? Is it like that cartoon where, was it Wile E. Fox or something like that, runs off a end of a cliff and he just like keeps on going down, keeps on floating until he looks down. But Prabhupada was saying that all these laws that we call laws of gravity and laws of this, laws of that in this world, they're not really absolute, because Prabhupada gave the example, interesting example, that when Lord Ramchandra built the bridge to Lanka, the stones floated. So the Lord was able to adjust things because he's independent, swarat, up to common, all those nice qualities. So the stones floated. And even Prabhupada gave the example, apart from the Lord's pastimes, he said if you put a pin on the water, it'll sink, you know, law of gravity. But if you put a log on the water, a big log that weighs a lot on the water, it'll float. So what happened to the law of gravity? So in other words, it's not an absolute thing. It's all these different forces of nature balance each other out, and none of them are actually absolute. And even as the scientists are discovering, when they delve into the quantum realm, I don't know if any of you know what the quantum realm is. It means real, real tiny things, like the size of the soul. That's a quantum, you're in the quantum realm. The soul, 1/10,000 of the tip of the head, of the hair. That's the quantum realm. Then things don't function according to the same rules that we have in the gross realm. Anyway, gross, it's all gross. So, you know, these laws are not actually absolute, but there are laws given by God, like the law of karma. There is a law. And so you may say, well, isn't that law absolute? Well, in its own realm, it's absolute, but Krishna can interfere with it, just like we hear about the different types of karma, vikarma, parabdha, aparabdha, etc. Of course, the word karma means work. And in certain contexts, it means the result of work. Like if you say, that's your karma, buddy. That means that's your result. Instant karma. You got bad karma. You hear all these expressions. But, you know, the word karma means basically work. So, basically, in Krishna consciousness, we understand that when we chant the Lord's holy name, even what? Namabhas chanting? You've heard about that before? Even Namabhas chanting, it's described that all the karma becomes eradicated. Of course, you may get a little token reaction. Prabhupada describes that like the fan that becomes unplugged. There's some momentum. It's
quote,
angular momentum, for those of you who are studying physics. It's different types of momentum. We have a physicist here, an aspiring physicist, right, Nicole? You're going to train him up to be like me. So that's called angular momentum, when someone's, you understand, going in a circle. So you unplug the fan, and the fan keeps spinning. Prabhupada gave the example when he was young, and he had a son, and the son kept trying to put his finger into the fan. Prabhupada wanted to teach him, don't put your finger in the fan, because you may end up without a finger. Good idea. So what he did is he unplugged the fan, and the fan had less momentum, and then he had his son put his finger in, bing! And the son learned his lesson. He never put his finger in the fan again. So Prabhupada described that when a person takes up Krishna consciousness, begins to chant the holy names of the Lord, it's like unplugging the fan. The fan still has a little bit of momentum, and so you're going to get some remnant of what you were supposed to get before, but it's directly administered by Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's not exactly karma, but it's sort of connected with karma. So in other words, karma is not exactly a irrefutable law, because the Lord interferes with it, especially with his holy name. So here Krishna is presenting something called the Karma Mimamsa philosophy, which is one of the Vedic darshans. Darshan means to see. And there's other Vedic darshans, which there's sort of a hierarchy of these Vedic darshans. There's six of them. And they, hierarchy means they go up. So in the beginning, you know, the first ones we talk about in the Vedic darshans are Nyaya. You got Nyaya Vaisheshika, which is, Nyaya means like logic, because before you can do anything else, it's not that Nyaya is rejected, you have to understand logic and reasoning, which is really important. Just like we were talking, we were communicating the other day with Nicole, that before you understand science, you have to study what? Math. You have to understand math and probability theory and all these other things like that. Otherwise, the study of science has no value to it. You know, unless you're going to do something like just use a computer and just be entertained by some YouTube videos. But you really have to understand mathematics and all sorts of logical principles. So Nyaya is like that. In fact, our good friend Nimai Pandit, good friend, he was expert in Nyaya. And he would use his logic, reasoning, and everything before he took initiation from Ishwara Puri to sort of harass the devotees. And it's described that devotees, many of the devotees, would run away from Nimai Pandit because he was just, you know, just like this guy, you know, just harassing us. And they would pray that if he eventually becomes a devotee, he would be such a good devotee. He'd be a great preacher. So they prayed like that. And of course, sometimes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, one day I'll be such a great devotee that even the demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva will worship me. And then the devotees thought, you know, this guy is really too much. He's really just completely overinflated, so to speak, proud. So anyway, so Nyaya, and then when you're using logic and reason, then you begin to examine the material world. Vaisheshika, you know, it's sometimes called atomism, but actually their epistemology is mainly based on direct perception of this world. And you have other types of epistemological concerns, you know, the perception. There's also non-perception. What's non-perception? Does anyone know? It means what you don't see. Non-perception, basically. You know, if you don't see God, God doesn't exist, right? I don't see God. He doesn't exist. So non-perception. Anyway, there's different epistemological strategies. And they also have their own shabda, too, which means like their own sort of disciplic succession. But I'm not going to get into that. So that's Nyaya and Vaisheshika. And then after that, you graduate a little bit. You get to Sankhya and Yoga. Sankhya means to count, basically. The word means to count. So they enumerate or count the different material elements. And we're not talking about the table of elements that we study in the Western world. You know, that would be a little bit more complex. But we're talking about, you know, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, the active senses, the perceptive senses, all that nice stuff. And ultimately, you know, hopefully they come to the conclusion of the soul and super soul, and sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. There's theistic Sankhya and atheistic Sankhya. And then, so when you're practicing Sankhya, you come to the conclusion, what do you come to the conclusion of? It's time to control the senses, the vrittis. You know, the it means like the turnings of the different things, like the mind, the senses. Like, it's interesting, the word vritti in English is very very similar to the word in English, vert, like subvert, pervert, revert, invert, all these things, you know, mean turning around. So anyway, you come to the conclusion, so then you embark on what? Yoga. Yoga means, like, you know, basically controlling the vrittis. So you have these different asana, yam, niyam, pranayam, asana, pratyahara, dharana, jhana, samadhi. So you sit in a certain position. Actually, first is you give up certain activities like no meat, fish, or eggs, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. And then you sit in a certain position, go to a holy place. Krishna describes this partially in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And then you breathe. They offer the outgoing breath to the ingoing breath, the ingoing breath to the outgoing breath. Some of you may know that, how to do that. I haven't really done it too much in my life. And you eventually go into samadhi. You withdraw the senses, you focus, you go into samadhi, and you're able to control everything. So that's the yoga system. And then the final pair of darshans are the called mimamsa. And actually the word mam, in the word mamsa, means to think. And mamsa means to think very, very deeply about something. So there's two types of mamsas. There's purva mimamsa and uttara mimamsa. Purva means like at the beginning. Mimamsa, and that's basically what we're talking about today, which is the karma mimamsa philosophy, which is primarily propagated by Jaimini. And this karma mimamsa philosophy is basically based on ritualism, as Krishna is describing here, that everything is based on what you do, and whether they're demigods or not demigods, it really doesn't matter, because they're forced to act, just like the example sometimes given of a technocrat or a bureaucrat in America, not in India. Only in America this works. A bureaucrat or technocrat in America, let's say someone who works in the driver's license division, if you pass the test, then he has to give you the license. You know, he doesn't have that discriminatory ability that he can say, well, I don't like your face, buddy. Of course, in America, there is some discrimination based on race and other things. We're not going to get into that. But in India, it does really depend on whether he likes you or not, whether you've given a big enough bribe. So that's something different. But, you know, technically, if things work the way they were supposed to work, that's called a technocrat or a bureaucrat. someone who just does what their job is, and if they violate from the principles of their job, they get fired. So if you do your thing, you get your reward. It's as simple as that. Very, very simple. So that's basically the karma mimamsa philosophy. And there's some modern advocates of the karma mimamsa philosophy. The Arya Samaj, for example, is very similar, not exactly the same. And there's a lot of people from India who follow the Arya Samaj. And basically, they don't like deity worship. And basically, the whole point is to go to heaven with the karma mimamsa philosophy. You know, act nicely, go to heaven, get your karma. And, you know, it's really connected to a certain extent, or, you know, it's actually some of the things that we believe in, too. But they're without God or someone to intercede in the karma. That's the difference. You know, we also say, Shanei Punir Marcho Lokam Vishanti, when your good karma runs out, guess what happens? Anyone know that verse? You come down to the earth planet. We also say that. You know, we don't say, when Indra doesn't like you enough, then you go out of the earth planet. We say, when good karma runs out. And also in the Bhagavatam, you have this whole story, the general indication that if you perform a certain number of horse sacrifices, right? 100 horse sacrifices. I haven't done one, so too bad. Then you get to go to heaven. So Indra's getting worried when Prithu Maharaj, who happens to be an incarnation of Krishna, is performing all these horse sacrifices. He's thinking, he's getting real close to 100. Let me start stealing the horses. And he starts stealing the horses in different guises. Sometimes he appears as different sannyasis, you know, sannyasi with skulls, a sannyasi. I don't know if he ever appeared as a Vaishnava sannyasi. No, probably not. So Prabhupada said that he invented different sannyas orders, bogus sannyas orders in this particular way. So there is, you know, there's some indication that this is happening. But, all right, so here's the but. So let's talk about Uttara Mimamsa, which is actually the Vedic Vedanta. It's called Vedanta. And there's two types of Uttara Mimamsa. Uttara means the topmost Mimamsa. One is the impersonalist understanding, and the one is the personalist understanding. So in the personalist understanding, which we follow, we understand that there's a Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he has his free will, and all the living entities have their free will, and they can choose, by taking up Krishna consciousness, to, let us say, act above the laws of karma. And of course, Krishna is not under the laws of karma. Krishna is completely swarat, completely independent, and he's not subject to the laws of karma. However, and here's a really interesting point, that sometimes in the Krishna consciousness movement, or many times, or quite often in the Krishna consciousness movement, people, without understanding what they're doing, have a karma mimamsa consciousness. What do I mean by that, karma mimamsa consciousness? Well, that's described by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Upadeshamrita. What does he say? Achahara prayasas cha pajalpa niyamagraha janasangas chaloyam cha sadbir bhaktir vinashyati. He says these are the things that impede our devotional service. Achahara, collecting too much, or eating too much, for those of you who eat too much. Over-endeavor for mundane things, not for Krishna consciousness. Of course, if you over-endeavor for doing something for Krishna and you lose your sadhana, then that's not a good idea. Pajalpa, talking nonsense, or watching too many hours of the news, CNN. So... Prajapa Niyamagraha, or Niyamagraha, which is really important, or not following the rules and regulations to think you're going to be Krishna conscious just because you love Krishna. I was listening, also in class, Prabhupada was talking about this. He said, he was talking to one person who was doing plays of Radha and Krishna at different villages. They would go to different villages and put on plays. And Prabhupada said, what is the use? There must be training. Prabhupada made that point very strong. He says, one cannot become Krishna conscious just by seeing Krishna and Radharani, you know, plays of Krishna and Radharani be reminded of the pastimes. Prabhupada said there must be training, and Prabhupada made reference to this verse, Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasandanta Hukkaroditam. He specifically talked about the Danta, controlling the senses, taming yourself. Brahmachari, one must be trained up by the spiritual master in order to understand Krishna consciousness. Vasandanta Gororitam. So anyway, so one has to follow the rules and regulations, but at the same time, there's this niyamagraha, which means following the rules and regulations and not being aware, conscious of what you're doing. Because Krishna says in the Gita, what is it? Bhakti mam avijanati amanyas jasmi tatvata. What is that? I can only be known by devotion. Krishna says, doesn't say I can be known by karma. Of course, it's a fact in the 12th chapter of the Gita, you know, Krishna says, you know, if you can't do this, can't do that, you know, just give up the fruits of your activities. You know, it's better than nothing. Yes, I'm not saying that if one's doing devotional service ritualistically, better to give it up. That's not my point. But the point is that we often do our activities in Krishna consciousness in a way thinking that if I do this and I do that and I do that, then I'm guaranteed to become Krishna conscious and be able to go back to home, back to Godhead. Not necessarily so. And also, if you're doing things ritualistically, that's, in one sense, that's part of Vaidhi. You probably won't go to Goloka. You know, at best, of course, you won't even go to Vaikuntha if you're just ritualistic. But if you want to go to Goloka, guess what you have to do? You have to really be doing things ultimately, spontaneously. You have to come to the platform of Raganuga Bhakti. But this is not the topic of today's class, Raganuga Bhakti. We don't want to discourage people from sitting there in class and not rolling around on the ground. So the point is when we're doing our devotional activities or external activities that we have in Krishna consciousness, such as Mangalarti and other things, we should be thinking of the meaning of those activities. Like I was speaking last night in the evening class, that I very much admire a particular individual, should be nameless, who dances during Mangalarti, because she's thinking of what each and every word means. You know, it's really helpful. I'm not saying that we should all be learning the mudras and work at my age. It would be disastrous. But still, you know, so I'm seeing how she's conscious of each and every prayer. You know, the Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Krishna mantra, and the Guru Vashtika prayers. I'm just thinking, wow, if I can only be like that, not externally, if I could only be like that conscious, that I'd be in ecstasy all the time. Instead, you know, I may be thinking, well, I'm chanting, you know, well, I wish the person would play the drum faster, slower, or other things I think, which I'm not going to mention in class. It's just I'm really tired, got a headache, so many things like that. But This is the way Krishna consciousness should be. Otherwise, it's almost like karma mimamsa. I mean, it is. If we're thinking we're doing something, we're going to get the result. That is karma mimamsa, basically. You know, bow down, mister. Okay, bow down. And we're not thinking about what the obeisance is, you know, the pranam mantra. We're just bowing down. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namani. Really, we're supposed to be thinking about the meaning of that as we're offering obeisances. I'm offering obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual master, Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, so dear to Lord Krishna, having taken shelter of Lord Krishna's lotus feet. Anyway, so there's so many things we do during the day that we just, and I know I've talked about this before, we just put ourselves on automatic pilot. And that's not Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means what? To always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And that means in the mind, Savaimana, Krishna Padaravindayo. That's really the point. Savaimana, Krishna Padaravindayo. Oh, of course, we don't give up the activities of Krishna consciousness, saying, well, these activities are not helping me remember Krishna. I'd rather be just like, what, Govardhan rolling on the ground. But it's true, I would. But at the same time, we have to just use these activities as sort of like a foundation or a framework to help us remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. So we have about a half minute left. I know Mother Irma has a question. You know, what you don't perceive. What you don't feel. What you don't feel, what you don't perceive. You know, in other words, it's a relationship to epistemology. You know, how do you know what you know? But you also, to know what you know, you have to know what you don't know, or you have to come to conclusions based upon things that you don't perceive or can't feel. You know, that helps you develop your philosophy, especially if you're an impersonalist. I don't have sexual feelings.
Come. akashareer hare hare murite Kabe nichai chandeo koruna hoi be samsara bhashana mura kabe tu choi be arakabe nichai Jaya chatiya kabe shuna me mana kabe hama ke rabbo shri rindavana Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama. Hare 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 Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
Paramahansa Parvatakacharya Also Tata Sitashi Shivad His Divine Grace Abhaya Charananda Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnav Rinna Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopika Bhaktivedanta Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai Vrindavana Ki Jai Mathuranam Ki Jai Jagannath Swami Ki Jai Yamunamari Ki Jai Srimati Lasadevi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Stasis with him. Stasis with him. When will that opportune moment come to me when I shiver upon chanting the name of Lord Gauranga? When will I cry while chanting Hare Krishna? When will I receive the causeless mercy of Lord Nityananda so that my desires for material enjoyment become insignificant? When will my mind be purified of material anxieties and desires so I can understand Vrindavana? When shall I be very eager to study the books left by the six Goswamis so that I can understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna? The lotus feet of the six Goswamis are my only shelter. In constant separation from them, I remain Narottamadas, Narottamadas, Thakur Ki Jai. Okay, so Shastika. Jinam Baba Mahadvani.